Okay, so this is our first panel feedback session of the breakout sessions. So I have here with me the four chairs of the four groups, each of whom I have some notes that have come from each of the groups. So I'm the only one so far that has seen all of the notes. What, if you, for those members who have been here for a little while, and for the new ones, just to remind us of the purpose and the reason that we're doing this as a panel session, as opposed to each of the chairs reporting their own individual reports, is so that we are not getting the repetitive nature of the reporting that we'll pursue. And I might get one of the chairs to talk about particularly what came out of their group, and then just pursue a little bit more around, you know, the thoughts in each of the groups with me probing questions. So we've got up here on the slide the two questions that the groups considered. So really, you know, the focus on the sensitive information. So, and I think it's also really important, chairs, please, that we get a general flavour summary of the discussions. So not looking detail by detail of what individuals said, but the overall summary of the discussions. And I'm actually going to start, James, with you in terms of where did your group get to around in what circumstances did they think concerns about sensitive information are valid?
Jonah, thanks. So maybe to give a little bit of context to the discussion that we had in the group, we actually had a very good representative population in the group of people, should we say, who are representing users, preparers, regulatory bodies, maybe supervisors, auditing firms. And what was interesting was, I think, each person's views acknowledged that there were times when information is sensitive, but possibly understanding what information or exactly what should be done with the information was possibly different. The perspectives were slightly different from a preparer maybe to a user to an auditor, etc. The list that was provided in the slides was thought to be actually quite comprehensive. I don't think people realize how many times, you know, that situations may arise on these situations may arise. Some of these situations were thought of as, well, that's not really that sensitive. Others were thought, yes, they are particularly sensitive. The one that we did take off the table, we never actually got back to, was going concern. It seems to be a special case. But we talked more generally about there are cases. We did explore, Joanna, is there sort of a criteria to work with? I don't think we came to any definite conclusion as to how to establish whether information is sensitive or not. There were thoughts around whether it deals with an individual, maybe a particular director, or is it entity specific, the information. Legal clauses in contracts was a possibility that was put forward. The counter, of course, to that. So for every example we had where there were counters, well, you know, that could in actual fact create situations where people would put clauses into contracts to avoid making disclosure thereof. The level of aggregation or disaggregation, bringing all the information to one point, were all considerations, but there was no definitive, this is sensitive, not sensitive. I think question two probably was more that we went into solution mode as to how to take this forward.
Okay, we'll come to question two in a minute, but yeah, just around those things, and I think it would be fair to say from what I've seen of the notes that that theme that James said was relatively consistent across the groups. But one of the things, therefore, that I have, or as a question, is how do we reconcile the different views between, say, a user and a preparer? If there are different views as to what are the sensitivities. And Holger, in your group, did you pursue that in terms of how you reconcile that? Because essentially what the foundation is asking us is, what should they put in a standard? What is the key to sensitive information? And they can't write a standard that says, well, if you're a user, do this, and if you're a preparer, do that. So did you try to reconcile those views?
I mean, is that working? Yeah. I mean, one idea we came up with was the idea of having like a financial reporting lab in which we could have a debate between preparers and investors on particular sensitive issues in detail during the standard setting process to kind of stress test the arguments put forward. So not to bring the discussion from the macro level really to the micro level and to the individual argument and then discuss whether that's really sensitive or not.
Okay, so you do that at a standards setting time? Because a lot of people would be saying that it's individual items, like individual circumstances, as opposed to in a standard?
Yeah, but I mean, our information was that often during the standard setting process, certain okay. parties bring up the issue that this information would be too sensitive to be disclosed and have really good and persuading arguments or situations okay. where this would be the case, yeah? And to kind of stress test that, one could try to have a detailed discussion about that up front. Mm-hmm. That could be one solution.
Okay. Vijay, did you in your group think about how you reconciled the views generally between, say, users and preparers?
Yeah, we did discuss about the need for reconciling the information. But I think at the end, what came out of a fairly exhaustive debate, almost everyone participated, was the fact that the overall objective of financial reporting, that particular objective was far more important than the concerns around sensitive information. So given that the merits of a more transparent financial reporting were overweighing, we concluded that it was important to continue with the current reporting practices on the information disclosure.
So full disclosure. So when you say the current reporting practices...
Yeah, when it comes to question number two, probably I'll articulate a little.
Yeah.
But in terms of sensitive information, people definitely had concerns. I didn't want to report what the two preceding gentlemen said, but it was similar dialogue in terms of the... diverse groups, preparers, users, investors, and also regulators, and also the size of economy and the situation in which the entity was. So people did feel it was sensitive for different people at different points of time, but the overarching principle was the objective of financial reporting, which outweighed the sensitivities which are attached to fact-specific circumstances.
Okay. So, Javier, did your group come up with that same conclusion? I mean, thinking about what we talked about yesterday morning and Erki referred to as well, around the trust, how important trust is for businesses. Did you reach that same conclusion, the overriding conclusion about financial statements?
Yeah, I think the group, first of all, I said already, my group was very diverse in that sense. Everyone was represented and it was pretty active, actually. So that was very good. Having said that, I think we were a little bit of drastic in this point because we said that, you know, if IFRS is to implement IFRS, they have to follow IFRS. The question maybe will be, what is on the standards? That's a different story. But once they follow IFRS, they have to follow IFRS. So there was no room for that much opinion in there. Obviously, there are cases, and that is related to, I think, to question one here, in which was a general consensus, I would say, that issues related to legal, to litigation, that was very sensitive, definitively, and also in many cases, they are also related to the local jurisdictions in things where they can be disclosed, cannot be disclosed. So that was probably the one in which everyone agreed that sensitive information or sensitive disclosure could be damaging, to say so, for the company. So that was the one. Having said that, also I think that as the presentation is showing, there are several options or several approaches here. I think one of them is was you follow or you explain, but that was with certain caveats as well. Mm. So that was the really, I think, the general views. We tried to reconcile, we really discussed that preparers and investors or users should be together and to see like a reach what is an agreement or something. No, I think we were more on the on the IFRS is IFRS, and then settle room for some kind of exemptions to say so.
Well, you've all touched on the second question, so maybe just move on to the second question. And Javier, you talk about the disclose or explain. Do you want to talk a little bit more about how you reach that conclusion?
Yeah, I think
what you mean by that.
Yeah, I think that the point with comply or explain, obviously, it depends very much. It's very hard, and we couldn't reach an agreement in which sector. But it was very clear there are certain sectors and certain things that might be at a point in time sensitive. For instance, we were discussing in case of an acquisition on an M&A, as clear as that. Obviously, I think we were mentioned that you explained where you are. Doesn't mean you have to explain all the details. And as you progress on the transaction, you have to be more transparent in that sense. What it was very clear is, in general, everybody agrees that transparency explained to the market should be there. We didn't leave that much room, not to say no room or zero tolerance, to say so, for the management to have leeways not to release information or disclose information because they think it's sensitive when already it's around, or the competitors, they think it's always a fierce with competitors. But we think that in the short term it might happen, but in the long term everybody's going to know what is going on. So that's probably, that's the way how we see and that's we address. So I think option one or how is that point one, I think is probably the one we were inclined, but definitely we were open and we think that 2A, I think, is the one. So that's what we discussed.
And Holger, I think your group reached that same conclusion for the same reasons?
Yeah, pretty much so. I mean, in our case, there was most support for what I would call compliant and explain with serious, credible, and visible constraints to prevent kind of the easy escape routes and the race to the bottom without the constraints, because there would be the risk of the boilerplates, in particularly in less stringent environments. Also, we would suggest to require some disclosures, if some exemptions which are clearly visible, because that would be immediately a red flag for the users and therefore have a feedback on the likelihood of firms really using those exemptions. Yeah, the constraints somehow need to be defined, because otherwise it will be difficult also for the financial regulators to find some way to enforce enforce these. Also, what I found interesting was the observation that this kind of comply explained with constraints may not necessarily be less informative than the approach one. Yeah, that's an interesting observation. But on the downside, there are, of course, costs of verification if we have those constraints. Yeah. But overall, there was not really, let's say, option three and four were not really on the table. There were some voices more for option one, and other voices more for the pure explanations, but overall, it's really this comply explained with the constraints.
James, I think your group, on balance, went for number one, option one as opposed to option two. Am I right in saying that? And so why did you go for that one?
So I think we came at it from a slightly different angle and considered, is there an option we would want to take off the table? Which was option four. We believe that sensitive information is a data point. Now, should that be disclosed, which is view one, or is there a comply and explain type situation, which is view two, or some variation thereof? I think there was some diversity in the thought pattern around that. And from that, we tried to think, I'm not going to use the word principle, but rather maybe a concept that possibly the starting point is view one. It is material to making decisions. It should be given to the user. However, we did recognize there may be situations. Now, that hurdle was, I think, a lot of discussion around that hurdle. What is that hurdle? To possibly indicate to a user there is a data point, I cannot give you data about it. At least there's a known unknown when you're making a decision. Mm-hmm. And there was some talk about, is the 37 language in the rare circumstances the hurdle that should be used? I think there was a degree of comfort around that. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's not something that's triggered very often, or maybe it's triggered extremely rare circumstances. Let's put it that way. And so yes, there's a natural tendency to view one. In terms of thinking about it, though, we also thought at the time a standard is written, there should be consideration given as to whether the disclosures in that standard could constitute sensitive information. And therefore, the thought process is actually running at the same time as developing a standard. It's not something that's an afterthought or that arises. And it may arise afterwards, but at least thought has been given to it during the process of writing the standard.
I'm now going to... The concept of what is sensitive and what do the investors need to know and how you disclose it. So what the criteria for disclosing, and I'm going to put a little bit of my non-neutral chairing this or being a moderator of this. In New Zealand, we have for listed companies this thing called continuous disclosure. So, and I don't know how much it applies around the rest of the world, but as a director, as I am, of many listed companies in New Zealand, we have an obligation to disclose to the market situations where it is material information to investors. And we have to make that judgment call, but effectively material information to investors is it is likely to impact the share price and or impact investors buying or selling. And as I was thinking about this and looking at the comments that various members had made, and there was some comment around materiality in here too that it should be covered, I thought, well, is that a principle that is the same thing, that it doesn't matter what it is, but if it is information that you hold about the company that could potentially have a material impact on your investors, you should be disclosing it, however sensitive it is, because that is the role, certainly of the listed organisation, in terms of buying and selling of investors. So Vijay, putting you on the spot there, did your group consider anything like that in terms of, or your thoughts around that?
Yeah, before I could address those thoughts, let me give the specific discussion on question number two in the group. The group recognized that the current approach followed by IASB in standard setting was a combination of approach one, approach two, and approach three. Approach two and three being exception situations where two and three are followed. So after due discussion, we came to the conclusion that the current approach should continue. And where necessary, approach two and three. There should not be hesitation to apply approach two and three for situations like the IAS 37 or the IAS 7 instances which were given. So, but the recognition was the current pattern should continue. And there was a little bit of a passing discussion around excessive disclosures and the need for applying materiality. Materiality is part of the entire process of preparation of financial statements and reporting. And also there was discussions around laying down principles for confining to laying down principles for disclosure rather than making it rule bound. So that was one other discussion element which had come about. So, but otherwise, on materiality and the need to make disclosures, I think group was fairly unanimous on the fact that disclosure that will get. In fact, I was happy to chair part of the group, and I did not bring in my personal views there. And the entire group, through the discussions, ultimately concluded that the benefits of a more transparent reporting far outweigh the concerns around sensitive information, because sensitive information is very entity-specific, fact-specific, and for a point in time. And as you just articulated your own New Zealand example, if something is so very sensitive, it's important that the other stakeholders should know. Mm-hmm. And most countries, the capital market regulators are also driving the need for sharing sensitive information. So given that situation, the overall sense of the group was that we should continue with the current approach.
Javier, any more comments?
No, I think in this point, and now as an investor, I have to say that I think we were discussing a slightly different approach, but at the end it was the same underlying issue. And we think that have to be fair for companies. Going back to my first comments on the litigation, I think releasing or disclosing certain amounts, certain information, when you are in the middle of a legal case, it may be unfair for one of the companies or one of the parties. So this is not a matter of the market; it's a matter of being fair. Mm-hmm. And I think even as an investor in this case, we were very, very, I would say, sensible and cautious on that type of information. Mm-hmm. When really, and very similarly on a transaction in which a company is involved on a business combination, because also we don't have to forget that when you do those things, you enter into confidentiality agreements, and you have to see to what extent you can breach those, because otherwise, you know, there's no point in getting into those confidentiality agreements. So we agree basically what you're saying. Nevertheless, I have to say those two things were very sensitive to corporates. Mm-hmm.
Before I wrap up with the panel members, and we've only got 5 minutes more, is there anything that any of you have heard that you violently disagree with your chairs of your group as to what they have said and you would like to get on the record in the plenary session around those? We obviously do have, and somebody does, and I don't know who was his chair, but... other than that, we obviously do have the notes that have everybody's comments that the staff will have.
I like that word, violently.
Comments, please. He was in your group, James.
Yeah, and it's actually not so much that I violently disagree with what James said. He wrapped it up quite well. But the thing which is a little bit, and actually why I'm trying to speak is more what you said, Joanna. But first on the group. James made it sound a little bit like we found agreement. I think that's going too far. There is a conflict between users and preparers here, and that has been there always. And Soya said, why now? But you know, this is an ongoing thing. And I don't think we agreed. We found some points where we said, maybe here we can come close. And one thing was, of course, the kind of event-driven thing in terms of litigation or mergers, and maybe in a very limited sense, a comply or explain solution, which probably would be interpreted very different between users and preparers. But that's why we need IFRS standards to force preparers to, you know, disclose information. Mm-hmm. The other thing which was not mentioned is maybe some personal issues like detailed information on management income or something like this. Maybe that could be scaled back a little bit. And then the key thing, materiality. Surely. But, and that's where I come to your statement, Joanna, you said it in a way which sounded like you have to disclose material issues which affect the value of the company. That sounds like an event-driven thing. Is there a risk which I have to disclose? But that does not go far enough, by far not far enough, for a user, because what do I need? I need all these things which are claimed to be competitively sensitive. I need to know, is there a bunching of product risk, of regional risk, of customer risk? I don't need to down to the individual customer necessarily. That's where materiality kicks in. But I don't need the detail, but I need things which are just necessary to project the company's future and form an opinion of what the value could be. And that includes reporting on segments and the ability to get some idea of what the segment and product profitability is. So that's that in that sense, materiality, one could make a line. You know, that's what I wanted to add.
Thank you, Lothar. And I'm going to make one biased comment from me. I'm really interested, and now is not the time to pursue it, but I'll perhaps talk about it at lunch or something, about people's concern about, for instance, directors' fees. And I don't understand that. Like, if you looked at all the listed companies in New Zealand that I am a director of, mm-hmm. you could add those up and you know how much I earn. It's a fact of life. Right. So what? So that's what I raise there, because I don't understand the sensitivity around. And maybe it's just because it's always been the way. However, that is different. We'll follow that up with whoever's raised that as a concern at lunchtime, maybe. Giuseppe.
Yes, I would like to mention the CFA Institute study on segment reporting and its observation that companies overplay the hand of sensitive information. So I have no disagreement with the chairman, but I just wanted to make this point. And also mention Benjamin Graham, who said, it must never be forgotten that a stockholder is an owner of a business and an employer of its officers. So that's to set things straight. And thank you.
Okay, on that note, are there any further comments from the panel members, from the chairs, that they'd like to make before I attempt to wrap up?
James? Yeah, I was going to make a comment exactly along the lines that Lothar was making. Well corrected in the agreement part. Maybe it was we found a solution. But the materiality, we did spend a while discussing what actually is the material sensitive information. And I hear your point about the director's fees, but it was used to illustrate, is it the individual fee to the individual person, or is it to understand what our key management personnel earning and taking from the entity? And that was the discussion we were having about what exactly is the material information a user needs. And we felt that maybe there is a lack of understanding around that.
Okay. Anything further from you, Vijay?
Just to borrow the same example which you brought, it's a very sensitive example. We are looking at applying IFRS across all the jurisdictions, and which includes developing countries, or probably developing countries at the bottom also. And some of those countries, the information like directors' remuneration pay being shared can be a little sensitive. It's not the same sensitivity which you have in developed markets. So some of those, as a passing reference, it's not part of the group's total summary. Probably some of this could probably be a voluntary disclosure in a defined manner, so that there's consistency of the way it is done. So that it brings some amount of scalability within the standards itself, because listed companies also, some of them are very large, some of them are very small. So some of these sensitivities associated there could be recognized. So that was one passing reference.
Holger, any final thoughts from you?
Yeah, one thing which I found interesting were the interactions of the topic with other related issues. Yeah, so for example, that if companies omit certain information, they provide instead more earnings guidance, more other voluntary disclosures to compensate for that. Or that there may be an interaction with non-financial or ESG information, because, for example, it could be sexual harassment litigation cases, which is not non-financial in a sense, but still could be sensitive, but interesting and important information. Also, the interaction with the type of news disclosed, because one observation from the investor side was that the good news are frequently disclosed, but the bad news are then classified as sensitive.
Javier, your final comment?
Yeah, no, I think everything has been said by the rest of the panel here. The only thing I would like to add is there is a sentence in the presentation I think it summarizes very well what we discussed, and is the objective is the reduction of information asymmetry between management and investors. Mm-hmm. And I think to us that really very reflects very well what is the objective of this, in that sentence. Yeah.
Okay, thank you all very much. I think that I would sum that up as to say that there are some differences, particularly between different groups, as to what would comprise sensitive information. But that at the end of the day, everybody believes that the importance of financial statements and their role in trust, and therefore the importance of transparency, generally would lead to you would disclose sensitive information. Or if you don't disclose it, you would explain why, so that it's enough of a red flag, right, so that somebody knows that there is something there. And I think that, you know, reluctantly or not, I think that that's where I'm hearing that the groups came from. But I think that there are things in terms of talking about, well, what do we mean and what is the materiality, that is something that can be considered in standards. And I think the comment that, that people made about try to develop it as you develop a standard as opposed to afterwards. But the core is about being fair. And as you said, getting that reduction of an asymmetry between the preparers and the investors. And I think that's my summary of where we've got to. Now, whether that is useful advice, and I'm hoping it is, I think it's giving a sense of direction to the, and I'm looking at Neely and Sue, who are both nodding, so that's a positive. that I think we'll go with that. So, and obviously we've got the individual comments, but, you know, interesting discussions, and obviously that there are some differences in thinking about how we do reconcile those, but great to think that everyone thinks that the trust and the transparency override, basically. So thank you very much, and we will now, if we want to go back into the seats, and we'll move on to the IFRS for SMEs topic. So I'll move. Thank you very much, panel members.